Wake up, America. It's Morning Air with John Morales.
Si, senor.
Sarah Tafoya.
Cool, we're famous.
And Glenn Leverins.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. That's how I know. This is Morning Air. On Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Señor, wake up. It's Wednesday, December 14th. Good morning and welcome to another edition of Morning Air on the memorial of St. John of the Cross. I'm John Morales along with Glenn Leverins. Our studio producer is Sarah Tafoya. Good to be with you on this Wednesday morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Once again on Wednesdays, I always take a moment to remind you to pray to St. Joseph. On Wednesdays, we always remember St. Joseph. He is a powerful intercessor, go to Joseph. Today is also the memorial of St. John of the Cross, priest and doctor of the church. He was born in Avila, Spain. The 16th century Carmelite St. John was persuaded by St. Teresa of Avila to join her in reforming the Carmelite order. As a result, St. John of the Cross suffered many tribulations, including imprisonment, where he wrote the classic spiritual treatise, The Dark Night of the Soul. I want to bring in our Morning Air team, Glenn and Sarah. Glenn, what are a few of the big stories making headlines here on this Wednesday morning?
Well, John, just taking another look at that colorful weather radar with this giant system making its way across much of North America. This system starts, the tip of it anyway, in eastern Montana with snow hooking up through Winnipeg, Canada. Snow still in the northern half of Minnesota. And then as we get a little further south into Wisconsin, freezing rain, northern half of that state. And then there's a lot of regular rain from southern Wisconsin all the way down through Chicagoland to Kentucky and then back to Louisiana and still around Houston. This system, again, covering the entire U.S., making its way, of course, from west to east. There have been some tornadoes yesterday in Texas, Oklahoma, and the possibility of that in the south again today, and up to a foot of additional snow in the northern reaches of all of this as well. And so for some, a very messy commute this morning and some dangerous weather to watch for down south, John.
And Glenn, these tornadoes in December, this is somewhat rare. It usually doesn't happen this time of the year.
Yeah, absolutely. That's more of a spring and summer thing, but this is a major moisture maker storm out there. So a lot of tornado fuel in the skies to the south.
Well, I'm looking at a photo from the Associated Press just outside of Dallas of a home with trees just everywhere that have been knocked down, signs knocked down. So there's a lot of folks who are going to be in cleanup mode today.
Yeah, certainly. We hate to see that. And then you add some Christmas decorations on top of all that and quite a mess.
On a happier note, I got to believe that the Holy Father, Pope Francis, has got to be smiling from ear to ear. His beloved Argentina, led by Lionel Messi, won 3-0 over Croatia yesterday to reach the finals of the World Cup. Messi with a goal and an assist. France takes on Morocco at 1 p.m. Eastern time today in the other semifinal. So there's a lot of celebrating going on in Argentina. I saw some of the coverage yesterday. Those folks were going nuts.
Yeah, and they'll be celebrating there at the Vatican, of course. Pope Francis's home country doing well. And then for Morocco to do this well, that's something quite unusual as well for them. And They'll find out who gets to move on against Argentina after they play, like you say, again, against France today, 1 Eastern and noon Central. The World Cup almost done.
Absolutely. Meanwhile, you have an amazing cat story to share with us this morning.
Well, you know, Christmas, guys, is a time of reunions, and with cats and their families, this is included as well today. After 10 years, Mimi was reconnected with a long-lost family, and this has a little touch of Home Alone as this cat went missing some 10 years ago in Long Island. Mimi's family moved to Spain. They had posted signs and done all sorts of things and never thought they'd see Mimi again, and they ended up moving, and Mimi turned up at a Brookhaven, New York shelter, and not looking great. Doctors treated Mimi, found out that, well, thanks to the microchip, they discovered her former owners had relocated to Spain. When contacted Richard Price, the owner said he was elated and horrified that Mimi was unwittingly left behind after she was lost. She's now recovering with a relative, and the Prices actually plan to fly back and get Mimi and bring her on to Spain. So
That's so funny that they left and they didn't. They forgot. They couldn't think what was the one thing they forgot. Oh, poor Mimi. But they good thing that they did find her. And, you know, I was wondering when you were saying, you know, how they were trying to find her, Glenn, using the chip. But, you know, in the old days, I think you would have put the cat on the milk carton, maybe. And that probably would have been a good way for maybe other cats in the area to say, hey, yeah, okay, that cat looks familiar.
Exactly.
But I guess not in this case. That wasn't how they worked it out.
What a great story. Exactly. What a great story. A happy ending. And, you know, it's funny. Just yesterday, I saw another story about a dog that was missing after 7 years and had been reunited with its owner. And it's amazing the instincts and the memory of our pets. This dog remembered his owner. His tail was wagging like crazy, smiling. The dog was a little bit older. He had a little bit of arthritis, but the owner was really thrilled to be reunited. So I love these reunion stories, guys.
Yeah, like you said, Glenn, 'tis the season for being reunited with other people, and it's good to hear that it's not just humans reuniting at those family gatherings, sometimes long-lost pets. So,
Absolutely. All right. Well, thanks, as always, Glenn and Sarah. And we always begin every morning in prayer here on the show, giving thanks to our Lord for all the many blessings through the intercession of the Mother of God, our Blessed Mother Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady of Guadalupe, Nuestra Señora de Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, patroness of the unborn, and of Relevant Radio, pray for us. St. Joseph, patron of the Universal Church, pray for us. St. John Paul II, co-patron of Relevant Radio, pray for us. We always invoke the Holy Spirit every morning when we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, come. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our power scripture from the Playbook of Life this morning is from Galatians 2, 19 and 20. The Apostle St. Paul writes, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Christmas is for the humble. Christmas is hidden from the learned and the clever and revealed to the smallest children, as the Lord Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke. Christmas is for the humble because the proud don't fit into the manger scene. We can humble ourselves by repenting, by apologizing, especially here during Advent, by going to confession and worshiping Jesus the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. This Christmas, let's clothe ourselves with humility so that we can see the baby Jesus with our hearts and in our homes. And we always pray with great confidence, Jesus, I trust in you. You can find us on Twitter at Morning Air Show, as well as on Facebook. And you can always send us an email, morningair@relevantradio.com. Our number, if you want to be part of the program this morning, 888-914-9149. Now, this morning, we have an interesting question for you based on the gospel readings at Daily Mass last week. If a man had 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, will he not leave the 99 in the hills and go in search of the stray? What could be so special about these sheep to elicit such an overreaction from a shepherd? Joining us live from the Dallas area is Catholic evangelist and author Omar Aguilar, the director of liturgy for St. Cecilia Catholic Church in Dallas, Texas, to discuss the Lord Jesus and the Good Shepherd's perspective and why we are all that one special sheep. Omar is the host of several Catholic and pro-life programs on Spanish radio and television, the author of the book Latino Católicos in los Estados Unidos. Good morning, Omar. Thanks so much for joining us. Great to be with you once again here in Advent.
Happy Wednesday. Happy Advent. Great to be back, John.
Well, Omar, first of all, thank goodness that you're with us here this morning. I know there's been some really bad weather around much of the country, and I know it hit the Dallas area. Is everything okay?
Thanks for asking. And yeah, thanks be to God. Everything's okay. couple of people with minor injuries. And actually, I live a couple of miles from the tornado hit last yesterday. And it was quite interesting because I was out of town. So I was at work, but I was out of town. I was with my wife the whole morning while she was picking up the kids because he hit some of the local schools here. But thanks be to God, you know, it was quite impressive, as you were saying earlier, you know, a tornado, so close to Christmas. But thanks be to God, you know, a couple of people with minor injuries, nothing serious, and obviously some damage to some businesses and houses. But yeah, it was quite terrifying, I got to tell you.
Well, praise the Lord that you're okay and your family's okay. And we obviously keep in our prayers all the folks who have to be digging out and cleaning up this day in so many parts of our country after some of these December tornadoes. Well, Omar, I wanted to chat with you because, you know, last week there was a very a powerful gospel reading from Matthew 18. It's a great reminder of God's love for us, his sheep. Can you tell us about this parable from Matthew 18?
And it fits perfectly for the season because we are once again just a couple of weeks away from Christmas, from this beautiful, from this miracle. But yet at the same time, you know, this is the time where everyone is like super busy. Everyone is under so much stress because you want to get the presents, you want to get ready. Perhaps you're traveling out of the country, out of your state. And in the midst of all this busyness and in the midst of all these challenges and in the midst of all this stress, it's good to stop for a minute and to be reminded that how important and how unique we are in God's eye, that every one of us in a way is that lost sheep, that Christ is willing to leave the 99 and come after us, come to get us, to bring us back to him, to bring us closer to him. So this gospel, it's a powerful reminder and yet also a powerful challenge to all of us to be mindful, to keep always present how unique we are, that we were created in God's image, each and every one of us. And each and every one of us is been given talents, has been given gifts. And above everything else, we've been given the God of love. And that God of love will never leave us. Even though sometimes we feel like he's not there, sometimes we don't feel he's present, he is always present. He is always there for us, and particularly during this Advent season where we are preparing our hearts, preparing our homes, perhaps to family, to relatives, to friends. And on top of all of that, let's not forget that this is a time where we're preparing ourselves to welcome Christ into our lives.
Yeah, and Omar, in that gospel reading from Matthew 18, Jesus said to his disciples, "What is your opinion? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, will he not leave the 99 in the hills and go in search of the stray?" And it made me think, you know, first of all, the incredible love of our God, of our Lord. He knows even the hairs on our head. He knows each one of us by name, individually, uniquely. And it reminds me of like, you know, as a parent, if you were in a place like a Disney World, for example, imagine you have a big family, you have like 10 kids and one of them goes missing. Of course you go looking for the missing child. It doesn't make any difference. Of course. And that's the same spirit that our Lord has.
Oh, absolutely. Actually, with my fourth child, with Talita, we went through that experience at a local mall. I mean, when she was like 2 years old, we were at a store getting something. And next thing you know, she was gone. And believe me, John, that was probably the two more minutes that were so terrifying to me, to my wife. And obviously, we were with our other three kids, her older siblings, and yet we left them right there in the store. And we went out and looked for her for like, I don't know, 120 seconds that to me lasted like a full day. It was terrifying. But yeah, that's God. That's God that is willing to come after us in a way to chase us, to say, "Hey, I'm here for you." And once again, through this particular season, you know, more often I hear this: "I hate this season. I hate Christmas." And it's not, and sometimes I like to think that it's not that they hate the season just because of the sake of it. But perhaps it's because you've gone through some dramatic experiences, perhaps because you're alone, perhaps because you're not able to provide your family with enough gifts, with enough presents, perhaps because you're not having the greatest Christmas party, perhaps because you're not traveling, because, you know, you have to work, and all these different things that in a lot of ways don't help us to be mindful how much God cares for us, how much He is willing to do for us, to the point to giving us His only Son so we can have eternal life. And for us, this is once again the perfect season to be mindful how unique, how beautiful, how loved we are. Even though sometimes we don't hear, and even though it's been a year since anyone has told us, "I love you, you're beautiful, you're amazing, you're a gift from God." Even if we don't hear that often, we always need to be mindful that that's who we are. That's the gift of our lives. And now that we are almost to Christmas, it's also good to be mindful that God is calling us, each and every one of us. I like to think also staying in the Gospel of Luke, you know, in the second chapter, after Jesus is born, the angel comes to the shepherd. They're on the field. They're minding their business. They're working. They're living their lives out. And the angel comes to them and invites them to go and to be close to Jesus. That's the same invitation that we're going to receive throughout the next couple of weeks leading into Christmas. To, yes, in the midst of our lives, in the midst of our business, in the midst of our work, in the midst of our challenges, in the midst of our joys, we are called to come before Jesus, to praise Him, to love Him, and to let Him love us.
And Omar, the reality is, and here during Advent, as we prepare for Christmas, that there are brothers and sisters who are like the lost sheep. They're not with the fold. They've been separated for whatever reason, and our Lord wants them to come back into the fold here, especially during Advent time. And maybe you can talk a little bit about how God searches in many different ways for these people who, for whatever reason, life circumstances, you name it, they're separated.
Yes, and in a lot of ways, that's the experience in each and every one of us, because at some point in our lives, we go through that experience that sometimes we don't feel love, sometimes we don't feel the presence of God, and yet He's always there for us. And that's a challenge for all of us, those that we call ourselves Catholics, that we call ourselves believers, that we believe in Christ, that we believe in His message, that we are to be like Him, to be love and to give love. And so perhaps, you know, if you know someone that maybe they don't, it's been a while since they've gone to church, maybe you know someone that it says that they don't believe in God, but then at the end of the day, regardless of what is, you know, your religious position, regardless what is your political position, your position in sport, who's your favorite player, regardless of all of that, all of us are in need of love. And all of us at the same time, all of us are capable of give love and to be love to one another. So this is also the perfect season for all of us to become love, to be gentle, to be kind, to care, you know, to smile, to say good morning, to say good afternoon, to ask how are you, all these basic things that perhaps they don't seem like a lot, but for someone that hasn't heard that, for someone that hasn't felt the love of God in a long time, it could be a game changer. It could be what they're looking for, that sign that God is present, that God is loving them. And that's, you know, if you don't know what to give for Christmas this season, well, why don't you just give out love? You know, why don't you just give a little kindness? That will be a good challenge. That's something that all of us can do, that, you know, it's not very expensive. We don't have to pay for that. We already have it, because we know that Christ is about, we're about to celebrate that He is born into the manger, because He loves us so much, and He's willing to come and be one of us, you know, in everything except in sin, but He's willing to become one of us so we can be like Him.
And God loves us so much that He gave us His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life, as John 3:16 reminds us. Something to meditate on, that incredible ocean of mercy and love that God has for every single one of us individually.
Yes, absolutely. And once again, you know, staying with Christmas season, with Advent, you know, let's not see this as the end of the year, you know, because, you know, obviously, you know, in the calendar, it is the end of the year. It is the last month. It is the last couple of weeks before the new year. But for us, this is the beginning. This is the beginning of the new year. This is the beginning of our new life, if we want to see it that way. This is the beginning of something beautiful. And that something beautiful is that Christ is going to be born among us. The Christ is coming to us to give us his love. And this is the greatest gift that we're going to ever receive. And in the same sense, we're called to do the same, to be loved, to become loved to one another, to let's forget all the bad stuff. Let's forget all the different challenges of life. And for once, just to know that it is because we are loved. It is because we are unique. And once again, if you haven't heard it in the last 12 months, perhaps you haven't heard it in 5 years, know this. You are beautiful. You are unique. You are created in the image of God. You are love. And love is all you need. Love is all we need. But we need to be sometimes challenged to do that, to be loved, to be like Jesus, to be willing to sometimes to be defenseless, to sometimes feel like we don't have any power, to feel like I need help, to feel like I'm not alone, to feel like all of those things. And for us, these couple of weeks leading into Christmas, this is the beautiful challenge that we have. Let the love of God come to you. Open your heart, open your hearts, and welcome this baby Jesus. Welcome this baby that is coming to us to remind us how beautiful, how unique, how amazing we are.
Well, Omar, I so much appreciate your perspective. Thanks so much for being with us. Many blessings here the rest of Advent, and Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad to you.
Many blessings to all of you. Feliz Navidad. Thank you, John. God bless.
Catholic evangelist Omar Aguilar, the author of the book Latino Católicos en los Estados Unidos. We need to take a short break. When Morning Air continues, our Rome correspondent Ashley Narona will have the latest news on the Holy Father from the Vatican. Stay with us on this Wednesday as Morning Air continues on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Bringing Rome to home. This is Morning Air on Relevant Radio.
And welcome back to Morning Air on the Feast of St. John of the Cross. I'm John Morales along with Glenn and Sarah. Good to be with you. Thanks so much for tuning in on this Wednesday morning here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And now it's time to bring Rome to home for the latest news from the Vatican. We go live to the Eternal City and our Rome correspondent, Ashley Narona. Ashley and her husband, John, founded the Truth and Beauty Project, providing Renaissance-style theological formation for visitors to Rome. You can read more about them at johnandashley.org. Buongiorno. Good morning, Ashley. Thanks so much for joining us once again. Great to be with you from Roma.
Hey, John. Buongiorno to you. Happy to be with you, even though it sounds like I have a little bit of a frog in my throat today.
Well, I can relate. I had one myself, and finally, thanks be to God, I got over it last week. Hey, we're just kind of our blessings that you are with us, and I so much appreciate taking the time. Ashley, let's talk about the Holy Father, Pope Francis. Tell us about his Wednesday audience this morning, which I see was indoors once again.
That's right, exactly, because we've had a very rainy few days in Rome. And in fact, today at the audience, he said that he is in his final phase of the catechesis on discernment. And today's topic was vigilance. So today the Holy Father pointed out that the Lord himself has always said that vigilance is an important part of being a good disciple. He said that a good disciple doesn't slumber, but instead a good disciple always remains alert and ready to do his duty. And so it's this type of vigilance that ensures that that work of discernment is not in vain. He said that without vigilance, though, there is risk. There is big risk. Why? Because the evil one is always lurking. And in the words of the Holy Father, he could, quote, ruin everything, leaving you even worse than you were at the start. Because he warned that the evil one waits till you become complacent. And then when you do, he's ready to ensnare you. And so the devil waits until the time when things are going well, when you have the wind in your sails, and it's then that he tries to sneak in. So today the Pope reflected on Matthew chapter 12, which was also read at the audience, and this is the story of the unclean spirit who was cast out of the house, but then returns with seven spirits that are even more powerful than the first. And the Pope explained that this came about because the homeowner had become complacent because he wasn't vigilant. In fact, the Pope said he was in love with himself and had stopped waiting for the Lord. So he says that we all fall into this trap, and that's when you love yourself too much and you forget to rely on God's grace. That's when the evil one finds that door open and comes to take possession of the house. So ultimately, what does it mean to be vigilant? Well, the Pope said that it goes back to Jesus' admonition, let your loins be girded, your lamps burning. So blessed are those servants whom the master finds awake when he comes. The Pope suggested that that is the frame of mind for all Christians to be in as they await the final coming of the Lord. And it can be also should be part of the normal attitude of daily life. And finally, John, he said that vigilance is a sign of wisdom, and it's a sign of humility. And humility, he called the high road of the Christian life, John.
And it was interesting because, you know, I occasionally glance at the Spanish report from Vatican News, and their headline said that the Holy Father was warning El Demonio, the devil knows how to fool us, and he dresses up as an angel.
Mm-hmm. Yes, in fact, well, an angel of light, in fact. And as the Holy Father asks us to be vigilant and to look out, this is all at the end of these various weeks of discernment, John, that we've been reporting on. You know, remember, he's talked about prayer, he's talked about self-knowledge, desire, desolation, he talked about consolation, and how discernment is such an important part of the choices we make. And all of that is to make sure that we are avoiding the snares of the devil, John.
And I understand at the end of the audience, once again, as he's been doing for quite a while, he continued to remind us to pray for our Ukrainian brothers and sisters.
Yes, he expressed his closeness to who he called the battered Ukrainian people. And he asked people especially to pray. He even asked people to have what he called a more humble Christmas and to think of other of ways that they could help others instead. He asked people to keep people who are suffering in their hearts this Christmas and to come up with what he called concrete ways to help.
All right, Ashley, yesterday was an exciting day for the Holy Father. First of all, he celebrated the 53rd anniversary of his priesthood, and then to add to it, his beloved Argentina pulls up a big 3-0 win to make it to the World Cup final as they defeated Croatia. Lionel Messi with a big day. Holy Father's got to be smiling from ear to ear because I know he's a huge fan of Argentina.
That's right, exactly. He has always been very vocal about his love for the game of soccer. And in fact, in the past, he has been gifted a soccer jersey, by the Argentinian team. And although he'll always say that in these major matches, he, as a good diplomat, remains neutral, but I think we all know where his loyalties lie, John.
Oh, there's no question. In fact, I was waiting for a surprise. Maybe he would have pulled out a Argentina jersey today at the audience.
That's right. You never know.
Exactly. All right. I wanted to also ask you about some of the interesting Christmas time celebrations going on in Rome. There's a lot of them. First of all, this past Sunday was Gaudete Sunday. I imagine it was full of joy at the Vatican and in Rome churches.
Joyful indeed, and there is a very joyful tradition that occurs each year in St. Peter's Square, and this year Without fail, hundreds of excited children brought the little figurine of Jesus from the nativity scenes in their homes with them to St. Peter's Square. And after praying the Angelus, these excited little ones held that Jesus figure up in the air, and the Holy Father blessed those baby Jesus figurines. And in fact, the Holy Father said that as families prepare a nativity scene at home, or they go to visit one that's set up in a church or somewhere, they should take it as an occasion to think about who the Lord really is and how to imitate him in daily life. And he suggested that a way to do that is that instead of thinking about gifts for ourselves, think about words and gestures of consolation that you can give to people who are wounded, just like Jesus did for the blind and the deaf and the lame. And he asked the little children, especially, to pray before the creche in their homes that the birth of the Lord will bring a ray of peace to children all over the world, especially children who are suffering and children who are living in terrible circumstances, John.
All right, for our listeners, can you paint a picture of what St. Peter's Square looks like right now here with 11 days to go before Christmas?
Well, first of all, it's so exciting because it really, especially during the Christmas season, has become a major destination for people. Italians love their passeggiata, to take a passeggiata and to go on an evening walk. And so St. Peter's Square is a place that people will stop as a family. And it's beautiful because they will come and spend time in front of that beautiful life-size wooden nativity scene that's right there in the center of the square, right next to the obelisk and right next to the gigantic Christmas tree that's decorated with ornaments that were created by young people in a psychological facility from Abruzzo. So then from there, they'll turn to the left side of the square and have the opportunity to visit a beautiful exhibit called the 100 Nativity Scene Exhibit, and it features nativity scenes from throughout the world. So this is how people are celebrating and preparing in these days before
goodness.
Christmas.
So much to talk about, so little time. Ashley, yes. What about Santa Lucia, St. Lucy, big feast day yesterday in Roma?
Absolutely. And of course, her name means light, or of course, the Latin lux. And before the Gregorian calendar came into use in 1583, the winter, and then it put the winter solstice, of course, on the 21st of December as we celebrate it. But before that, on the Julian calendar, it was the 13th of December. So that was the shortest day of the year. And the story goes that St. Lucy used to carry food at night to poor Christians. This was during the persecution of Diocletian. Since her hands were full, she couldn't carry a light, so she wore a wreath on her head with candles that were lit, and that is how she lit. She found her way in the dark. So many centuries later, people still associate her with as a patron of bringing light. And especially in the Norwegian countries, she celebrated in a big way. And in fact, the embassy of Sweden to Italy, put on a huge concert on her feast day right in the middle of Rome. Imagine that they had a high school choir that came from Stockholm, and the girls all wore white gowns and green wreaths in their hair with beautiful red lit candles. And after this wonderful concert in the piazza there, everyone enjoyed glögg, which is mulled wine, and peppercorn, which are gingerbread biscuits from Sweden. So indeed, the December darkness was illuminated in a beautiful way, John.
Sounds fantastic. The Italians really do know how to celebrate. Final minute, real quick. I understand there's a new way of keeping the Christmas tree lit at City Hall there in Rome.
Well, you know what? They're using human pedal power. Imagine that the mayor of Rome has announced that the Christmas tree in front of City Hall is going to be powered by 6 parked bicycles, which tourists can jump on and pedal along to light up the Christmas tree. The mayor and the city council members were the first to light it up last night. And this was while the local police band was playing Christmas music in the background. So I see, there you go. A new way to keep fit and to bring some Christmas cheer, John.
Yes, and doing it in a green fashion. Very impressive. Ashley, as always, thank you so much. Grazie, grazie. So much appreciate you being with us here in these final days of Advent as we prepare for Christmas.
Oh, thank you, John. All the best to you. God bless.
And I hope you feel much better in the upcoming days. Thank you. Ashley Narona, our Rome correspondent, who joins us every Wednesday from the Eternal City. You can listen to her reports on the Relevant Radio app. Just go to Relevant in Rome. We need to take a short time out when Morning Air continues. Catholic speaker and journalist Kate Wicker will be with us to discuss how to create a culture of home for our children this Advent. So stay with us. There is more to come as Morning Air continues after this.
Bringing the light of Christ to start your day. This is Morning Air.
Good morning, life. Good morning, sun. How are you, skies above? Gee, it's great.
And welcome back to Morning Air. Thanks so much for joining us on this Wednesday morning. I'm John Morales, along with Glenn and Sarah. I'm so glad that you can be with us this morning. Home is, according to the Oxford Dictionary, a place where one lives permanently, especially as a member of a family or household. We put down roots and begin to love others in our home that, in a particular way, we call family. And the season of Advent is all about home and of course, about Jesus. Joining us live from Athens, Georgia this morning is Catholic journalist and speaker Kate Wicker, a Morning Air regular contributor to discuss creating a culture of home for our children this Advent. Kate is a wife, a mom of five kids, a bibliophile, a marathon runner, eating disorder survivor, and a perfectionist in recovery. Kate's the author of Getting Past Perfect, How to Find Joy and Grace in the Messiness of Motherhood. Good morning, Kate. Thanks for joining us. Great to be with you once again here during Advent. Can you believe there's only 11 more days to go until Christmas?
I can't believe it. This Advent season has flown by. As the whole year, I feel like life just gets faster and faster. And that old adage, the days are long, but the years are short, is certainly coming to be a very much a truth in my life.
Absolutely. Well, I want to talk about this season of Advent. And, you know, some say that Advent is all about home, obviously pointing us to Jesus. But can you talk about Advent is about home?
Yes. I think Advent, you know, we think about how Mary didn't have the opportunity to nest and prepare this perfect place for the Christ child. Yet we do. We have, most of us, most of the listeners, we have an opportunity to really make home be a safe, sacred place. And you know me, I'm always about getting past perfect. So in saying that, if you saw my house right now and the detritus and how messy it is as my teenagers deal with final exams and things like that, you know, we do our best. But I think that we sometimes as parents underestimate the power of tradition during this time. And we think, oh, the kids won't miss it if we don't do this or we don't do that. And certainly you don't have to do everything. There are so many beautiful Advent traditions, and the season in the church is just rich. I mean, we just celebrated our feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and there's so many different things. St. Lucy, some people celebrate on December 13th. St. Nicholas Day on December 6th. There's just so many things we can do. But I think what's important is talking to your family and figuring out what is realistic to you, because these traditions, they do create a sense of home. An example of something that I never really thought was a big deal, there's a Christmas tree farm kind of close to our house, and we used to go there and get our tree, and there's a petting zoo, and the kids would get hot apple cider and boiled peanuts. And Charlie, he's young enough now that it hasn't really been instilled as a tradition, but the last few years we went, they haven't had the kind of trees we need for our home. They've either had really huge ones or ones with branches that won't work, et cetera, et cetera. So this year, but we've still gone, but this year we decided, well, we're really busy. We've got basketball. We've got all this. We'll just get our tree somewhere else. We'll still celebrate taking out the ornaments. We have a very mismatched tree. It's not a theme tree. It's all like handmade ornaments and the children for St. Nicholas Day each year get an ornament that kind of represents maybe what they did that year. Or, for instance, my 11-year-old went to Chicago with his grandparents, so he got a Chicago ornament this year. So it brings back a lot of memories. Well, my 13-year-old was so mad at us that we didn't go to the Christmas tree farm, and she said, well, you at least need to get boiled peanuts. And, you know, you think about these traditions that as adults we maybe kind of take for granted, but the kids, that really is what creates a sense of home. And, you know, the ritual of the Catholic Church, too. I know that some people, if they're new to the church, maybe they're used to these big entertainment churches where every Sunday is different, and it might seem a little strange, but as you get used to it and you see that beauty, we had an exchange student from Italy, and it was so neat. When she came to Mass with us, she just spoke perfect English, but she automatically started saying all the Mass parts in Italian. And, you know, she said it felt like a home away from home. And so I think that's just something so beautiful. The Catholic Church teaches us that it has the ritual all over the world. The same readings are being read. And we can kind of take that into our domestic church. And Advent is a beautiful time to kind of set some of those traditions and rituals, whether it's as simple as just having an Advent wreath. We went to an Advent wreath making little gathering at our church, and my older children were actually volunteering and serving, and then my sons and I made an Advent wreath together, even though we already had one, but we brought that home. And something as simple as just having that Advent wreath out every year to count down the weeks and to celebrate. We just celebrated Gaudete Sunday, the joy, and reminding them that that pink, that rose reminds us of the joy that we're getting closer and closer to Christmas.
I'm reminded of that classic song, I'll Be Home for Christmas. Kate, can you talk briefly about the importance of trying to come together as a family and spend time together and really celebrate Christmas as a family together?
Yeah, you know, growing up every year, my grandparents, my dad's grandparents, so my paternal grandparents, lived in Park Ridge, Illinois, and every year we gathered there, and as many cousins, I have 33 first cousins, my dad's one of nine, as many of us as could be there would get there and celebrate with my Nana and Papa until they had to move down south to Florida because the cold was getting too much. But that, I have such memories. And so that was sort of a home away from home. I wasn't in my, my mom and dad, I was with the extended family. But it created such a beautiful memories to me that it really made Christmas to me not, and we didn't do gifts for everybody. So it wasn't about, you know, everyone getting all these gifts. It was just about being together. And then the older cousins, the day after Christmas, and I was the second oldest out of all those, would watch the younger cousins, and the adults would go out for dinner. And, you know, we kept safe, but there were always some shenanigans, and there was a lot of kids in the house. And it just brings back such fond memories. It's so neat to get the Christmas cards now of my cousins having children. And, you know, like I said, I was the second oldest, so I was one of the first. And it just brings back so many happy memories. And that's really, to me, what Christmas is about. And that's one thing that I love about the hustle and bustle. It can be kind of stressful, but I love that I have five kids, and there's never going to be a dull moment. Even if we can't travel somewhere, we're very lucky that my mother-in-law lives just down the street, and then my parents live about an hour and a half away. So we celebrate Christmas Eve with my mother-in-law and usually my husband's sister and all her kids, and then Christmas Day with my brothers and my parents. So it's definitely about being together for the family, even when it's kind of harried. And but that's what it's about.
No question, Kate, here. Final minute. It's also about, as a family, pointing towards the baby Jesus, because that's really the real reason for the season. And it's all part of being that domestic little church.
Yeah, and one of my favorite little traditions, we set out our nativity scene, which I still need to get to. It's another reason I'm really thankful that the Christmas season lasts pretty long for us Catholics into Epiphany. But we always set up the nativity scene, but the cradle, the manger scene is missing Jesus. And then on Christmas morning, we have a baby Jesus birthday cake, a special plum cake I make, and we sing happy birthday, and we put Jesus, you know, the little ones find Jesus, and we put him in the cradle to remind us that this whole season of Advent, we were searching for him, and now we have him, and hopefully we have some semblance of peace and joy as well.
Well, Kate, thanks so much for being with us. Really appreciate your insights as a mom, and many blessings the rest of the way here in Advent. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas. Happy Advent. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much. Kate Wicker, author, speaker, Morning Air contributor. Now it's time for another episode of Glenn Story Corner.
If you're struggling with shopping this year, here's a story for you. Our story today called Eight Gifts That Do Not Cost a Cent. Number one, the gift of listening. But you must really listen. No interrupting, no daydreaming, no planning your response, just listening. Number two, the gift of affection. Be generous with appropriate hugs, kisses, pats on the back, and handholds. Let these small actions demonstrate the love you have for family and friends. Number three, the gift of laughter. Clip cartoons, share articles, funny stories. Your gift will say, I love to laugh with you. Number four, the gift of a written note. A brief handwritten note may be remembered for a lifetime, maybe even change a life. Number five on the list of eight gifts that do not cost a cent, the gift of a compliment. Simple and sincere, you look great in red. You did a super job, or that was a wonderful meal. Can make someone's day. Number six, the gift of a favor. Every day go out of your way to do something kind. Number seven, the gift of solitude. There are times when we want nothing better than to be left alone. Be sensitive to those times and give the gift of solitude to others. Number eight, the gift of a cheerful disposition. The easiest way to feel good is to extend a kind word to someone. Really, it's not that hard to say hello or thank you. Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law.
As always, thanks so much, Glenn. What a great teaching on these eight gifts that don't cost a penny. Coming up next hour here on Morning Air, our spiritual director, Father Marcel Tyon, will join us to talk about choosing to spend time with our Lord Jesus Christ during Advent. Plus, our personal success coach, Dave Duran, will be with us to talk about some of the common reasons for not accepting responsibility. Stay with us. There is much more to come in the final hour of Morning Air here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.